being with us today. Happy New Year to all of you again. If you weren't here earlier, when I wished that upon you. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. So good to have all of you here. Kind of looks good with this setup that we've got going on here. You know, maybe we'll have to do this more often. You guys like it? Yeah. I walked by and it looks like y'all liked a lot of that because there ain't much left. I should have got a plate earlier because there ain't much left. But thank you so much for all of those that were involved in making sure the breakfast was ready. Bobby, thank you, obviously, Miss Bobby, for just taking care of it and everybody that made food and set up tables and all of that. I didn't even touch one. That was kind of awesome. I don't think that's ever happened. But thank you for making sure that happened. And then anybody who wants to stay and help clean up, that would be pretty cool too. So anyway, thanks for being here. I hope you had a great night last night. I hope you got some rest. I stayed up with my girls and watched the ball drop, and we had a good time. And Kelly, she watched it. It was on the back of her eyelids, I think. Must have been. But anyway, but we had a great time, and I hope you did too. And if you didn't stay up late, then I hope you were ready to wake up today in a brand new year with some brand new hopes, some brand new looking forward at what God has for you this year. I want to get us kind of started off with this year just looking at some things that I think will encourage all of us to help us move forward in the things that God wants for us and not just as individuals, not just as a church, but all of those collectively together. And so we're going to spend some time talking about perspective today. And I want to help you and help myself with some perspective that allows us to just see what God has for us. I think perspective is one of those things that we need to often check and make sure that it's at a right place. One day, a man that was a very wealthy man decided that he was going to take his son out and teach him to appreciate, you know, life. And he decided to take him and show him how the poor people live. So he took him out, took him down out to the outskirts of town where the, you know, that part of the town, you know, over on the other side of the track, so to speak, and took him out there and began to show him some things. And they toured around, spent several hours just riding around and spending time with the people and talking to them. And so when they got back in the car, they headed home, and the dad said to the son, he said, So tell me what you think about how poor people live. Tell me what you learned today. Tell me what it is. He said, well, I learned a lot of things. I learned that, you know, we have one dog and they have four. I learned that we have these imported lanterns in our garden and they have the stars that light up their night sky. I learned that our patio reaches out to the front yard when they have the whole horizon to look at. I realized that we live on a small piece of land, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. I learned that we have servants who serve us, but they serve others. Learned that we buy our food, and they grow theirs. Learned that we have walls around our property to protect us, and they have each other. The dad was kind of speechless for a moment, and his son went on, and he said, you know, thanks, Dad. Thanks for taking me and showing me just how poor we really are. Kind of a different perspective, isn't it? You see, we often think that people who have a lot more than us have it so much better, but the truth is oftentimes, you know, I'm just kind of a good country boy in a lot of ways, and if you could just take me out into the middle of a field out in the country on a cloudless night and let me just sit there, I'm just telling you, I'm in heaven. I just love going out and looking at the stars. It's really cool to be around all the street lights, I guess, you know, and being around all the people and all the hustle and bustle. But, man, when you go out and you just begin to see the stars and how they light up the sky and all of that, it begins to give you a whole different perspective. Perspective's a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you have it right. Perspective helps us to do so many things. Makes you wonder what would happen if we all just gave thanks for the things that we have and we're just, you know, thankful for where we are and what we've got, and prayed for those who maybe needed to have the same perspective on their lives. The people that are working themselves to death to try to have stuff, when the reality is they just need to stop and look around and see what they've already been given. We all fall into that. And so I want to help us with that kind of perspective today, to be able to help us begin this new year with a different look at how things go. And I realized that this boy had an unlimited perspective of what the world is really like. And so I want to help us to be able to do that. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 and then skipping to 16 says this. Jesus is talking. They ask him, why, you know, what's going on, and why do you teach in parables all the time? And he says this. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Jesus is explaining this whole thing about why I use the stories to teach people how to look at things, how to help them understand what he's doing, how to open, and what he was trying to get them to do was to open their eyes up to a whole brand new perspective, to a whole another way of thinking and seeing the world that would allow them to be able to see it the way that he needed them to see it, to do what he wanted them to do, what he had purposed them to do. He had gathered those men around him to accomplish something, and they needed to look at everything different if they were going to be able to do it. And I think that really is the same for us. They needed a different perspective, and many times so do we. So starting a brand new year and starting it off with a brand new perspective, I can't imagine that this is going to hurt us in any way. This is going to be a good thing. So I want to ask you some questions today to try to help you get some different perspectives, to kind of see where you're at and maybe where it is that God wants you to go. And so let's just start here with the first one, and that is, where are you? Where are you? Some of you would say, well, I'm at Uari Community Church, silly. Don't you know? You're right here with me. So some of you would say, oh, well, we're at 1510 Moss Springs Road, because you want to be all technical about it. Some of you would just say, oh, we're in Stanley County. Yeah, some of us would say, well, we're in North Carolina. Some of us would say we're in the South, because that's a good thing to say, right? We tend to think that's a really great designation that sets us apart, but it just makes us pretty redneck in a lot of ways. But that's okay. We're all that. I got that on me. But we think that we have designations, and when we say, where are you, we come up with all kinds of things. I'm in the United States. I'm here on Earth. You know, some smart aleck would have probably given me that one if we'd have asked, because there's always one in every crowd, right? Usually it's me. But the problem is that we need to understand where we are. If you ask me, where are you, one of the things that I might say to you today is, I'm in 2017. You say, well, wait a minute, Ron, that's not a where, that's a when. But I got to argue that a little bit, because it is a where. It's where we are right now in history. It's where we are in the midst of everything that is happening. Some pretty interesting things have happened this year. We've seen some crazy stuff happen. I thought it was really crazy when Jesse Ventura became the governor of Minnesota. I thought, man, anything's possible, I guess. And now Donald Trump, you're a fired guy, you know, is president. And, you know, it's crazy when we really think about how all this kind of falls into place, that things that we never thought were even possible have come to be. We see it in a lot of different perspectives here. Here's the truth. God has placed you and I in a unique time in history. We're here at a time where history has come to us, and it is asking some very big things of us. It's asking some really important things of us. Think about it. For 300 plus years, the way we got news was printed on a piece of paper. The newspaper has been around that long, and that's how we've gotten our news. But today, just curious, how many of you subscribe to a newspaper? One, two, three. Am I getting that right? Yeah, three. the rest of us, we get our news either from TV, right, or we get it from the internet. And now I can sit here while I'm talking to you, and I can pull up the news and know exactly what's going on in the world. I don't even have to stop talking, because it's come to that place where things have changed, and the world is changing rapidly, so rapidly we can't hardly keep up with it. Because listen, if you got an iPhone 6, you are so last year, you know, because it's already the 7s out, and I'm sure the 8 is like, as soon as everybody buys the 7s, they'll come out with the 8. It just works that way. History is riding us so fast. I learned to listen to music. See, if you ever want to know, here's a piece of trivia. My favorite band all time is the group Boston. All right? I love the group Boston. More than a feeling. Yeah, all that good stuff. Right? So I'll save you the rest of it. But that's my favorite band. You know why? Because that was the very first band I ever listened to. And it was on my brother's 8-track tape player. Okay, I'll tell some of you how old I am, a little older than you probably think. But I learned to love Boston on an 8-track tape player where it would be in the middle of one song jamming, and it would stop, and it would go click, and then it would start playing again because it went to the next track, okay? That's how we learned it. And, you know, it just happened that way. And then I'm riding in the car with my daughter, Erin, who's 7, and she, you know, she's listening to music on an iPod or an iPad or a phone or whatever, and she says, and the song's on the radio, and I'm like, and she says, "Dad, hey, well, can you play that song again?" And I'm like, "No, babe." And she said, "Yes, you can. Why can't you just play it again?" I'm like, "I can't. It's on the radio." She's so conditioned that on an iPad or whatever, she can just hit it and go back and play it again, and in the blink of an eye, you know. And she thought, you know, she wanted the radio to do the same thing. We've gotten to a place in history where things have changed so much. Netflix. Listen, I can watch 5 years worth of person of interest in like 2 days. You know what I mean? It's like we can take history and time, and we can do all kinds of crazy stuff with it because of what's happening around us. The Bible, where we used to have to carry in, you know, this is kind of thin, small for some of them, but we typically have to carry in some big paper, leather-bound, you know, monstrosity. Just curious, how many of you have a Bible with you? Just lift it up if you got one. One. Seriously. Yeah, seriously. So if you have a Bible on your phone, a Bible app, lift up your phone. Do I need to talk about that one any longer? It's right here. Because we've gone, technology and history have got us to a place that we can go anywhere and have the Word of God right there with us. We don't even have to, you know, it's amazing that history has got us to the place that it has us. And we are here. God's put us here for this time and this place. The perspective what we need to have is that this is a unique time. God wants to use you in it. In the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles, there was a time where David was gathering an army to go against Saul, and all these guys were coming from all of these different places, and there's this one group that come, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It says, "From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do were part of that group that came." You see, these guys were important. They got what was going on around them, and so they were pulled in. They were important in their time because they looked at what was happening and they knew what was going on. Sometimes I think the church itself looks around and we become very clueless to what's going on around us. And today, we've got to be able to look up and see what's happening. You can't run looking at your feet any longer if you want to be used the way God wants to use you, because it's changing too fast. You're going to trip over something. We need to be able to be like these guys and know what's happening. They were important, and they were used to make a lot of decisions around what was happening in the time because they knew. How much do you really know what's going on around you? How much do you know what's happening in your neighborhood? How much do you know about what's happening here in our neighborhood? We've got to be willing to pay attention to what's going on and to make sure that we stay relevant to what is happening. Well, let me make sure that you understand that being relevant never means changing the message of the gospel of Jesus. But it does mean changing how we deliver it, changing how we share it. We talk about the fact that we're here and exist as a church to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news. And we've got to make sure that we can share the good news the way that our culture and our society see it and feel it, and the way they're going to be able to grasp it. Never means changing the message. Never means watering it down. Never means making it so comfortable, you know, that people just fall into it because it's like some big giant beanbag. No, the gospel is so much more. Jesus didn't come and die on a cross and pay the price for our sins so that we could be so flippant and lazy with the gospel that we just throw it out there and hope that somebody catches it. Now, we got to be intentional. We've got to have relationships so that we can share it with people the way that they hear it and the way that they see it and the way that they'll understand it. We've got to be able to do that. If you take this address and you go out 5 miles and you draw a circle around it, it's about 2,400, a little over 24,000 people live within 5 miles of our church. The interesting part about that is only 13% believe that it's important to go to regular religious ceremonies. Only 13% think it's important to go to church, if you want to put it that way. So you're telling me out of almost 25,000 people that only 3,200 of them think it's important to go. Man, I was blown away by that. And you know what I think the church has begun to do? The perspective is, man, see, people don't want anything to do with church. They don't want anything to do with religious services. And as I'm dwelling on that and thinking on that, at first I'm like, well, man, we might as well just quit. And that's what I think the church has begun to think. Man, we might as well just quit if nobody really wants to have anything to do with it. You know, the church is just irrelevant, and we just ought to just quit. And we just ought to just, you know, if we will go, but we're not going to invite anybody else because they really wouldn't want anything to do with it anyway. But you know what God began to do when I began to think that way? He said, wait a minute, Ron, your perspective's wrong. You're seeing the 3,200 people that think it's important, and you're seeing all the people that don't want to come. But the reality is, and the perspective needs to be, that there's 21,000 people that you've got to go out and tell about my son Jesus who died on the cross for them. That there's plenty of work to do. I got some pretty good job security right now because there's plenty of people that need to hear the gospel. And we can't quit. We can't just give up and just expect somebody else to go do it. We got to get busy. Those people are out there thinking that it's not important because we've let them believe that it's just not important. Because we've not lived it out ourselves to encourage them. Now, I know that's not exactly the most uplifting New Year's Day message you've ever heard. That's not the greatest news. None of you are really smiling and laughing, and I ain't heard one amen yet. But it's the truth. And so today, I can't think of anything better to give you on New Year's Day than the truth. Because here's the thing, I've been wrestling with it all week long. I'm like, man, I've been looking at this thing completely wrong. I can't keep looking at, you know, the negative side of that. I got to flip it. And I got to look at the God side of it. The God's message is for every one of those, you know, other 21,000 who say they don't really want anything to do with it. So you and I have a responsibility. And here's the thing. The truth of that is this is not just a huge opportunity, it's a huge responsibility that you and I have as those who claim to be followers of Jesus. We have a great opportunity But man, we've got a bigger, even bigger responsibility to live out our faith, to tell people about our faith, to be able to share and encourage and invite and just, you know, be the ones that are the light versus the ones who are, you know, out snuffing out and making it more dark. It's a responsibility. And so this year, 2017, man, I'm excited about it because there's work to be done. There's something that for all of us to do, something that we can all reach out. So where are you? Where are you? The second question is this: what do you need? What do you need? What do you need to be able to do what you know you're supposed to do? God's given you a burden. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that we all have a burden, something for all of us to do, something for all of us that God's purposed us. He made us and created us special to be able to do. There are people that you were made to be able to tell that I couldn't tell or somebody else couldn't tell about Jesus. He's made those special for you. But what do you need to be able to do that? Here's the truth. God has given you everything that you need to accomplish what he's called you to do today. He's given you everything that you need to accomplish what he's got for you. You don't need anything else. If you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got everything you could possibly need to do what it is that he wants you to do. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You have everything that you need to do whatever he's called you to do. He's given you his son, Jesus, to be able to have a relationship with him so that you can first make sure that your salvation is sure and complete, and so that then you can take that and share that with every other person. He said this, that the most important thing is to love God. Love him with everything that you've got, and second is like it, and that's to love others as yourself. If you've got a relationship with him, you've got everything that you need to do those two things. What do you think that you need that you think you don't have? He's given his son Jesus. He sent him to earth to live a sinless, perfect life, to give his life, to hang on a cross and die, to pay the price for our sin. He's letting be taken off the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day, he reached down with all the power and love that he has, and he raised him from the dead. So that not only could you and I be forgiven of our sins now, but that we could be in a relationship with him for all eternity. Man, I can't think of a better way to start the new year with thinking about that. That's a great place to be, and that's the opportunity that we have. He's given us everything that we need. He's provided us salvation. He's provided his word, the Bible, for you and I to know how to live our lives. He's given that to us, and we talked about how it's so accessible now. You pull it up on your phone, and you just can read it anywhere. It's impossible to say now that you don't have time to read your Bible. It's impossible. You got to throw that one out. I don't even listen to that one anymore. Because listen, so half of you sit on the toilet and check your Facebook status anyway. You could sit on the toilet and read your Bible. I mean, I'm just being serious. And some of you say, oh, that, Ron, that's just nasty. I can't read the Bible sitting on the toilet. You know, what's nasty is when you get up from the toilet with your phone and then you don't wash your hands and you walk out with that phone and then put it up to your face. That's nasty, okay? So let's just get that out of the way. It's not, the thing of it is that we have access to it 24/7. At any moment, those nights you can't sleep, guess what? Pull it out and begin to read it. You know, quit checking to see how many people liked your little puffy face, you know. Pull it out and read your word. Begin to let it sink in and become who you are and to allow him to change you and use you the way that he wants to. God's provided it for you. And listen, whatever it is that he's calling you to do, he owns all of it. He owns everything that we see. It's his. And I have found that he's very willing to sell some of it to get us where he needs us to be. He owns it all. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." He's willing to meet you where you are when he has something for you and you're willing to do it. He's willing to give those things to you to let you accomplish the things that he wants you to accomplish. So don't doubt him. Step out and do what he says. It's already taken care of. Too often we forget that. And I'll be honest, sometimes I'm the world's worst at it. But we got to remember that he's the one who's calling us to it. It's not our circumstances. It's not the negative stuff in our lives. It's not all that mess that keeps trying to get stirred up when we're trying to step out. It's him. It's God, the creator. God, the one who loved us enough to give everything for us. And if he's willing to give his son for us, I'm pretty sure he's willing to give whatever else so that we can accomplish his will, so that more people can hear the gospel. And we've got to keep our heads up. We've got to be encouraged, because that's who he is. So where are you? What do you need? Third is, what's your focus? What's your focus? One of the downsides to the age that we live in is the immense number of distractions that we have. Man, there are distractions everywhere. There's always stuff getting in the way. There's always things popping up to get our attention, pulling on us, to get us off track. You know, that phone that we talked about, telling you, it's a great tool for distraction. Go to a restaurant and watch how many people pull out their phones and sit there and don't say one word to each other, but they thumb that thing to death. I mean, I'm guilty sometimes. It just happens. We get so comfortable with it. But here's the truth. Focus on what God is doing and get behind it. Focus on what God is doing and get behind it. Did you hear that little idea thing with my point? That was kind of cool. Anyway, never mind. It's the only stuff I pay attention to. All right, so focus on what God's doing and get behind it. If we'll look for what he's doing and join him, great things can be accomplished. What often happens, though, is the things that he wants to happen, we totally work against. Because there's an enemy that is always wanting to work in the opposite direction. There's an enemy that's willing to put things up and bring things up and stick it in our way to keep us from going the direction that God wants us to go. And we don't know the enemy well enough because, one, we don't even know God well enough sometimes because we won't read his word about him. And then we can't identify the Satan and his traps because we don't really know God and his intentions. We got to know it better. So you're going to hear me say a lot. I say it a lot anyway, but you're gonna hear me say it a lot more. You got to read your Bible. We got to open it up. It's a great time to get started. Today's the first day. You can go on youversion.com, find a Bible reading plan, and begin today. But if you don't know who he is and if you don't know how he works, you're never going to be able to know when the enemy's at work and how to follow God's voice rather than the enemy's voice. But focus on where he's working. Get your focus off of you and your circumstances and get focused on what God is doing. The one who has unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, unlimited all of those things that you can tap into and begin to follow and trust. We try to do it in our own strength and our own energy. Listen, I don't care what you do. Your energy and your mental state, all of that's going to run out at some point. We can't do it all on our own. We've got to be able to follow him because he is the true source of unlimited power. Get your focus off of those things. Listen, God's doing great things here at You Are a Community Church. I think sometimes we just kind of come and go, and you never really get to experience the really awesome things that he's doing. You're getting ready to meet a few of them in just a moment. But as I look out of this room, man, he is doing some great stuff in so many lives. And you don't get to experience it and hear about it nearly as much as I do. And that's one of the things I wish we could bring each other closer together. And that's one of the reasons life groups are so awesome, because you can get in there and you begin to see God doing stuff in others' lives, and they get to see it happening in yours, and you feed off of that. It's amazing. But he's up to some great things. He's doing some awesome stuff in our URA kids, our URA students. Man, they're challenging me all the time with stuff. He's just at work. And so we need to get behind him. Put our focus on where he's working, and then begin to follow him and allow him to use us where he's already at work. Some of you are letting some talents and some real abilities and some gifts sit on the shelf. And I'm telling you, some of you are miserable because of it. And you don't know it. And so one of my goals this year is I'm going to push some people to do some things that I know God wants to do in your lives that you haven't been willing to let him do. I'm going to push. And I'm a pretty good pusher. Okay? Because I know that you're missing those things. Our church is missing your abilities and all of the things that you can bring to the table to allow us to reach this community better. So it's going to be time to do some things different. One of those things we do is we look around for ministries where we can plug in with, and we can come alongside and help. And you guys know for several years we've been helping with Operation Christmas Child, and this year we kind of dropped off a little bit. And one of the things that we're going to do when we see somebody that something going on that we can partner with and come alongside and really help is we're going to do it. And this year we're going to do a brand new thing with Operation Christmas Child. We're going to begin a year-round collection, where every month there's going to be an item of the month that we can grab while you're out shopping. You can get two or three more and throw them in your buggy and then bring them in, and there'll be a container out here to collect them in. And we're going to do that all year long. If you look in your program, there's a thing. This month is small toys for kids. And you can go out this week. They're all on clearance right now. Go out and get them. You know, go to the dollar store and grab all that you can. Get your money's worth out of them, because we can bring them in, and then each month we're going to collect certain products, and we'll get them together. And at the end of the year in November, we're going to have a huge shoebox packing party. We're going to load those boxes up, and we're going to send them off to kids all over this world who will not only receive a gift for the first time, but who are going to hear the gospel for the first time. And they're going to have a chance to be changed for eternity, because we're willing to spend a few bucks of our own money to help them be able to see and hear and experience the good news of Jesus. And we got a big goal. I think it's awesome. I'm excited about it, because we're going to be able to reach out. And so he's at work. So why don't we get our focus on where he's working? Let's be able to find him. There's some other things that you're going to hear more about as we move through this year that I'm excited about, because it's going to help us to just be exactly where God wants us to be. All right, here. So where are you? What do you need? Where are you focused? And then here's the one I'm the most jacked up about. What's possible? What is possible? This is the question that gets me the most excited, because what is possible when we realize where we are and what we need and where he's at work? What's possible when we realize all those things, and then we come along and we use the things that he's given us to allow it to happen? Man, I'm telling you, this year is going to be awesome, because he's got some good stuff, and he's ready, he's working, he's got us at a good place, he's got us moving and growing. So many people are coming alongside us, and we've got people accepting Jesus, and I mean, it's just, he's moving, y'all. And we need to get along with him. This is the worst illustration I've ever used, but it just works. Have you ever seen one of those dung beetles? You ever seen one? Man, they get that dung and they begin to roll it, and it gets bigger and bigger, and they doing this crazy thing with their legs, and that thing gets bigger and bigger, and they start rolling down the hill, and man, all of a sudden they got this big old thing of dung. We ain't rolling dung, but we're going to be rolling Jesus around this place. And we're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger till this community hears about who he is and what he can do in their lives. We got to get excited first if we want to see others. That was a terrible example, but you get the point, okay? You'll never forget it. You'll just never forget it. All right. But here's the thing. When we do all of those things, when we realize where we are and what we need and what he's doing, listen, anything is possible. That's the cool thing. Anything's possible. When we're working with him, anything's possible. Because here's the truth. I don't even think we've scratched the surface of what he wants to do yet. Because here's the truth. God is just getting started. He's just getting started, and he is able to do more through you than you could ever imagine. More than you can ever imagine. So often we think that you got to be a preacher, you got to be a singer, you got to be able to do some of that stuff, or God can't use you. That is the biggest lie from Satan that we ever bought. Because he can use every single one of us right where we are. God made you with a purpose. He made you specific for some purpose in this world. You're not just here to occupy space and air. I know we see people and we know people in our families like that, but believe it or not, they're created for it too, okay? We all are. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Man, he can do more in us than we can ever imagine. And I believe that he wants to do that in you. Whatever your name is, whatever your situation is, whatever he's got you, that's you. You just got to believe it. You got to let him do that. What is possible? Anything's possible. I've told you before, like, I have this huge imagination. I used to kind of make up all kinds of stories and, you know, I could play all kinds of games, you know, because I could imagine all these things about where I was and who I was and all that. And I still can. I'm pretty good at it, you know. And I think, man, as big as my imagination, God says that he's bigger than that. It's unimaginable, okay? Because it's so big. But he says that he can do those things through us when we trust him, when we follow him, when we allow him to do what it is that he wants to do in his life. See, today, what is it that he wants to, what is possible in your life? For some of us, it's hosting and leading a life group. For some of us, it's being generous with our time and with our money. For some of us, it's going back and telling, you know, Tara and Debbie back there that, hey, you know what, I'm willing to work and you are kids, you know, a couple weeks a month. I'm willing to stand at the door and greet people. I'd love to be part of the Impressions team here. Hey, I'd love to come and help serve whenever we do, you know, community events. I'm willing to come and help, you know, do this or do that. I'm willing to come help clean the church, you know, because, you know, we got just a limited group doing it. And you know what? It would help to have more people willing to do it. So for some of us, it's just being willing to come and step up and say, you know what, I'll do whatever needs to be done. I promise you, if I had more people that would say that, there'd be less for some people to do. And that'd be kind of nice. Be a lot less for me to do, and that'd be really nice. Because I could do what I'm really called to do. So listen, what is it that's possible in your life? Anything. It's just you got to ask a question, where are you? What do you need? Where's your focus? Today I want to introduce you to some people who've come to a place in their life where they've decided that man, they're going to trust and they're going to let God do some really cool stuff in their lives and they trust him to be the one who's going to guide them through life. That he's going to be the one in charge. And this is going to be awesome, y'all. It is good. Your bellies are full, right? You're not in a hurry to get to lunch. I'm telling you, this is gonna be good stuff. So what I want us to do is I want to invite my friends to come out from backstage. So you're next. Told you it's warm. So this is Marina. And Marina and her girls showed up, I don't know, about 6 months ago maybe. So, yeah. Kind of just showed up, and that's a good thing. They've been here and been part of our family. They have been faithful and consistent, and it's just been awesome to watch God use them and just grow them. And so, you know, this is just one of those that's just special. And it wasn't too long ago I mentioned that nobody brought banana pudding to one of our events. And if you know me, you know that like banana pudding is like my favorite. And it wasn't long after that a knock came on my door. I'm talking like the same day, not long after. And it was Marina and Mo, and they were standing there with a whole thing of banana pudding for me. And I got to tell you, a lot of people have made banana pudding for me. But that was one of the most special, because I knew that they took what they heard and they acted on it immediately. And I'm thinking, what an amazing thing that if we could hear the needs of our community like that and act on them that fast, what kind of difference could the church make in this community if we could just do that? And so thank you for that example that you set and didn't even know. I've been saving that one for a sermon illustration, but I'll bring it up again, but because, you know, I'm going to talk about banana pudding. So anyway, Marina, my sister, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in death and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Just come on, it'll draw dry. So would you stand here with me, Marina? And this is Mo. This is Marina's daughter. And Mo has been one of those that kind of same thing. She's helped us in so many ways. She's kept our kids for us. She's been around. They both served in so many different ways, and it's just been awesome to watch her exhibit her faith in God and just in serving him and serving other people. And so I'm thankful for your example and how you've stepped up and followed in that mode. So it's upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried with him in death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. This is Adrian. This is Adrian, Marina's other daughter, who is a Tar Heel, by the way. Makes her really special in my eyes. But she's not able to be here as much because she is at school. And you know, when they were all talking about being baptized, we kind of made sure that we were able to get this done for Adrian's before she goes back to school. And so my prayer is that we'll remember her, because she's on campuses, you know, across this country where the gospel is often attacked, and it's often something that's looked down upon. And so we want to pray for her as she lives that out there on that campus. And so Adrian, my sister, it's upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. So, good stuff. And listen. So it looks like we got another taker. I like that. So. So while Jeremiah is coming, we always open it up. We allow God to move and have freedom in our lives and in our services. And if you're here today and this is one of those things that you know just needs to happen in your life, then listen, we got towels. We'll get you clothes. We'll do whatever. But we want you to be obedient. And we always want to give you a chance to be obedient. So, keep talking. So, Jeremiah. Jeremiah's been here with his family, and it's been kind of cool to watch God work in his life. And he is a typical teenage boy, and I see a lot of little Ronnie Laughlin in Jeremiah. I've never said that to him. I've just kind of watched, and I get some of the things that he. Is experiencing and feels as that age. And so it's been just kind of neat to watch God work in his life. Is he perfect? Nah, he'd tell you that. But is he forgiven? Absolutely. And so today he comes to be baptized. And so Jeremiah, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, so I'm wet now. So come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see you, Seamus. So, Jeremiah, your socks and shoes are up here, but anyway. So while they're, all right. So while they're talking, if you need to take off, that's fine. I know we're going to go a little over, but, and it's not because of my preaching today. That's kind of cool. So it's because of God moving, and much rather you see, it's always that, but I'm glad you get to see it today. So let me ask you this question. We talked about those questions. Where are you, and what's your focus, and what do you need, and what's possible? And so maybe today there's just something to do with one of those questions that you just need to have answered. Maybe there's an answer that came to you on one of those today that you just need to come and be thankful to God for. Maybe there's some things that you need to just come and you just need to lay it at his feet, because right now you're not hearing anything, and it's because you got the noise of all the circumstances and all the stuff of 2016 that's just clouding your head. And so for the next couple of moments while they're talking and just making sure things are right, I just want to invite you, if you need to just come and pray, then this place is open. And I just want to invite you to just take a moment. If everybody would just bow your heads and close your eyes and just give some privacy to those that God may be speaking to, and just open it up. If you need to come pray, then then you just come pray. Maybe you're just here today and there's something that you're struggling with and you just don't know what to do next. Then I would just encourage you to don't try to figure out what to do next on your own. Turn it over to Him. He's the one with the answers. He's the one who knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what your focus is, and He wants it to be where He wants it, where He has made it to be. And so God is looking today for us to just give Him us. And so let's just pray together. God, we thank You for today and for the opportunity to see You move. God, I pray in these moments that You would just speak clearly to hearts. God, I know that You can speak through all the noise, through all the mess, through all the things that Satan would want us to hear and believe. And so, God, today I just pray that You would be very clear and direct with those in this room, that would help us to hear what it is that You have for us so that we may follow You exactly where You want us to be. God, thank You. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that moves, speaks, and shows us who You are and what it is that You want for us. Thank You for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Seamus. It was. You probably can't see him now. But wave at him. Wave at him. Stick your hand up and wave. Wave at him. Wave at him. Like you were waving at me. There you go. So Seamus and his family have been coming here for quite a while. And they've been very important pieces of what God's been doing. And so so Seamus back there raising his hand. And, you know, sometimes... I'll just say it publicly. Sometimes I kind of dismiss him because he always raises his hand. And I just know that but it's because he has such a good heart. And I just know that he's raising it. But today I felt like it was different. And so Pastor Eddie has spoken with him and has confirmed that he understands what he's doing. And so he comes wanting to be baptized. And so Seamus, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Got it? Amen. Amen. Oh, there you are. I was looking for you. Want to do it? Because you'll be crying in the water if you do that. Sure. Yeah. So I better talk. So this is Jesse. Jesse's one of our students. And if you hadn't got to hang around with Jesse, he is a ball of energy. And he is he's one of our faithful kids that is always here and always involved. He's always serving people, and it's just such a neat thing to watch in his life. And that's because he's been raised that way, and partly because he's been raised that way. The other part is because he knows who Jesus is, and he knows what the Scripture teaches about that. And I've seen him live that out. And so this is his dad, Shay, and so Shay comes to baptize his son, and what an awesome thing. So I'll let you take it.
I love y'all. I am so thankful to God for bringing us here. Most of y'all know our story about the Dominican and how he brought us home and how I couldn't believe that God didn't want me to be a missionary anymore. But I'll tell you what, I am so honored that he brought us to be a part of this group and to be a part of y'all and to do what we're going to do. I thought I took Ron's head off this morning. I hugged him so hard because I'm so excited about this next year and what we're going to do as a church and what we're going to do in the youth group. Anyway.
So let me say one thing. So a lot of times in service you don't see Shay. And I just want to share this because I think it's important that they know. Lots of times you don't see him in here. And you know why you don't see him in here? It's because he's sitting right back there in a chair praying for me while I speak to you. And he's praying for you guys to hear the word clearly and to be able to just understand it and let God do whatever it is that he wants to do in all of our lives. That's why you don't see him. And man, I can't tell you what that means to know that he prays for me that way. And so he prays for you that way too. And so I'm so thankful that God's brought you guys into our lives, and I love you guys so much.
You love Jesus, don't you, baby? And he trusts you to lead you, to guide you, to show you the right way to go, the right way to live every day, right? You believe he's going to do that, don't you? And you're willing to connect to him, to do what Jesus wants you to do every day. Open my Bible.
Jesse, our brother, his son. It's my privilege and my honor to, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Woo-hoo! Anybody else? Water's still good and warm.
It is.
Going once. Going twice. Not gone, just we're going to move on. But today, you change your mind, you call me, and we'll be here. I'll keep the water in there for a day or so. Let me pray for us. God, today we thank you for who you are. And God, this in this moment, as we just think about what you've done here today. God, these people have answered, where are they? And they've realized what they needed. And they've put their focus on you. God, because of that, anything's possible. And so today, God, I pray for us as a church that we would do the same. We would look for where we are, what we need, where's our focus, and what's possible if we'll just trust you in it. God, it's shown us that there's 21,000 people around us that need to hear the message of Jesus. God, they don't need more religion. That's what they don't want anything to do with. And I'm so glad that you're not about religion, that it's all about a relationship. So God, help me. Help me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, and as a follower of Christ to live you out, to share you wherever I go, and to lead this church where it is that you want us to be. God, today as we leave this place, may you bless us. May you encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, when you came in,